So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this series in June on New Testament baptisms. Lord God, that you laid out the foundation and the principles for us to be able to build our Christian life upon. Lord, open our hearts to receive revelation from you, Holy Spirit. Open our hearts to receive your love and your peace this morning. Just wash over each one of us, Lord, as we yield to you in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're starting out in Hebrews 6, verses 1 through 3. And let's see if it's up there. It is. We're going to read that together. Therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God, of the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. And so we see in the scripture here that there are elementary principles laid out for us to study and understand. An elementary principle is, the definition is various applications of order, time, place, or rank. It's the beginning. It's the corner. It's the first. So when you go to elementary school, you get the foundations, right? And that's what this is. It's the foundations. And in this scripture, we see that it says doctrine of baptisms. There's more than one baptism in the New Testament. And so this month, each week, we're going to take a look at those. There's four kinds of baptism. There's baptism in water. There's baptism into the body of Christ. There's the baptism of fire. And there's the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so the scripture says we have to learn these principles so that we can go on to perfection. Perfection in the Greek means completeness. So we need these foundations so we can be complete. And completeness, it not only morally, but mentally. And so these foundations are what we build our Christian life upon. So point number two, baptism in water is a demonstration of obedience. Baptism is an outward sign of an inward cleansing from sin. It's an act of faith and obedience. Jesus set the example for us in Matthew 15. And Aaron, are you able to pull up Matthew 3, 15 through 17 in the New King James Version? I think I only put one scripture in my PowerPoint. But if you can pull that up for us, Matthew 3, 15 through 17, New King James. Okay, let's read that together. But Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Is that 15? Is that verse 15? Well, I guess it would be. Let's go back a little. Sorry, guys. Let's go back to 13 and see what it says. Okay, this is what we want, and we're going to go right through this. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. Okay, so John the Baptist baptized people for repentance. He was a forerunner of Jesus Christ. He came before Jesus, and he was baptizing people for repentance. And I believe God sent him to prepare the hearts of the Jews to receive the Messiah that was coming. They needed a repentant heart. And so that's how God used John the Baptist. So let's read on. John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you. And are you coming to me?" He's questioning Jesus. I don't think he knew at that time that Jesus was the Messiah, but he was about ready to find out. But he knew that Jesus Christ lived such a righteous life. he's saying, oh my goodness, you should be baptizing me, not me baptizing you. Does that make sense? Okay, let's go on to the next one. But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. So the scripture says it is fitting for us, not just Jesus, but for all of us to fulfill all righteousness. That's what we do when we are baptized in the name of Jesus. We're not baptized with the baptism of repentance, because when you come to this point in your Christianity, you have already repented. John the Baptist was baptizing with repentance because Jesus Christ hadn't yet come. But we are baptized to fulfill all righteousness, to be complete, to be made whole in all righteousness. So let's read on to verse 17. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. Let's go on one more. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. It is impossible to overemphasize the importance of water baptism. In this scene, we see all three persons of the Godhead. We see the Father talking from heaven, and we see the Holy Spirit alighting or descending upon Jesus Christ, and Jesus is standing right there in the water, and the Lord announces, this is my Son in whom I am well pleased. So Jesus set an example for us, and God, literally, Jesus bent over backwards to make an emphasis on how important it is to be baptized, to be buried in the water. All right, let's go on. Baptism follows belief in Jesus Christ, and that's in Matthew 16:16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. So when we believe in Jesus Christ, we've repented of our sins, we've received him, it's time to go down in the water. It's time to be baptized in Jesus' name. Another area of study on baptism is infant baptism is not mentioned in the Bible. At River of Life and in many churches, we dedicate babies back to the Lord. Our children are gifts from God. They are our inheritance. And so when they come to that age of accountability, they will make a decision to be baptized. We make a conscious decision knowing that God has convicted our hearts that we need to be baptized. And so we allow children to make that decision when they come to the age of realization. Some people will say, well, what is the age of accountability? Well, it's when the child begins to realize, I need to be baptized. And we've baptized young children. Our children were baptized when they were young because they were convicted by the Holy Spirit and they repented of their sins and they received Jesus Christ. So the Bible says, here's water, what hinders you? You know, you don't need to delay or tell a child they need to wait. That's heartbreaking to a child. If your child comes to you and says, I need to be baptized, then they need to be baptized. Amen? Jesus said, let the little children come to me. So when they begin to know themselves. And then baptism in water makes a public announcement. And I saw this video on baptism, and I thought you would enjoy just watching this little boy with his public announcement. If you have that ready, all right.
This morning, we have accepted Christ as his Savior and as his Lord, and he will demonstrate his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ by willingly being baptized this morning. He's been waiting on this day a long time. And so, Jordan, upon the profession of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I now baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Go, Jordan.
He just couldn't wait any longer. He's making a public announcement. I'm not waiting any longer. I'm just going down in the water. And so he was being obedient, right? Fulfilling Acts 2:38 when Jesus said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And then John the Baptist came making a public announcement. Mark 1:4, it says, "John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins." And we already talked about that. That was in preparation to get their hearts ready for Jesus Christ, their Messiah. And see, Christians are empowered to fulfill the Great Commission as they make disciples and baptize them. This is a part of our mandate as the Church of Jesus Christ here in the earth. Let's read this together, Matthew 28:19-20. "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen." And this was Jesus talking to his disciples. And Jesus is talking to us today, and he's telling us the same thing. He's commanding us to make disciples. We should be making disciples and having disciples who are making disciples. And our hope is, as you go through these books, it'll give you an opportunity. It's a tool in your hand to sit down with someone else and to disciple them. Tell your neighbor, you can do it. We're all called to do this. He didn't say just specific people. He was telling all the body of Christ, all the members of the church, if we would really mobilize the army that we are, there wouldn't be anyone who hadn't heard the gospel. But you know, when we started our outreach program over 20 years ago down in one of the worst areas of Elkhart, Indiana, we had 75 children for our very first outreach. And those 75 children, when they were asked, "Who could tell me the name of the Son of God?" there were three children who raised their hand, and the first two got it wrong. And that was Elkhart, Indiana, 21 years ago. Church on every corner, but the children had not heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. And our heart wept for the city and said, "God, these things should not be in Elkhart, Indiana," which was considered a very conservative Mennonite town. So we put our feet to the streets and began to share the gospel. And we're very excited that the last week in June, we're partnering with another church. We're taking our Love and Action trailer and our sound equipment, and we're going into a neighborhood, as long as we get approved of it, down on Harrison Street, and doing a vacation Bible school every night the last week in June. So if you want to be a part of that, you want to help with that, let me know. But I'm excited to partner with other churches. This is a kingdom event. We are called to be ministers and ambassadors of the kingdom. It's not all about our church. It is about partnering with the body of Christ so that we impact our territory. And this particular church that's coming over is from Goshen, Indiana. But this woman just happened to get connected with some kids down on Harrison Street, and she started a kids outreach. And she was picking up kids and taking them all the way to Bristol all winter because she didn't know River of Life was here, and we're willing to take kids on Tuesday night here at River of Life for a kids club. Amen? Amen. Amen. Come on, church. This is what we're called to do. We're called to go out in the highways and the byways and bid them to come. And there is something that everyone can do. And if physically you can't help, then you can pray. Amen. We need prayers. We're going down into Harrison and Marion Street. Anybody been down to Harrison and Marion Street? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We've done outreaches down there. It's an area where the police are called in many times. It's a troubled area. So you know what needs help? The troubled areas in Elkhart. Is that right? It's like we shouldn't back up from that, but we need to press in to what God has for us. And we've been praying about connecting with other churches to be able to reach into the inner city once again. And God connected us in an amazing way. But this woman, she kept talking about her vision and her heart for these inner city kids. And she said two different people told her, you need to get a hold of the cooks because this is what they do. And they've done it for years. And so when I was at the community church services, I celebrated, I think it was what? Was it 25 or 50 years this year? But they had a big celebration at a church over on Jackson Street. And I went to that celebration. And when I came out of one room, this woman was sitting, just sitting with another pastor who knew me. And he jumped up. His name's Clarence. And he said, oh, Pastor Janet, this is a divine appointment. This is the lady I was telling you about. And put us together. Well, we've been talking ever since. Because our heart is to reach. Our heart is to reach. Let me just share a little bit about that. Reaching out, because this just happened this week. Actually yesterday or the day before. I was sitting in my office and I got a phone call. And I answered the phone. I was the only one in. And this man says, is Pastor Leonard there? And I said, no, sir, I'm sorry, he's not, but can I help you? And he said, well, I was hoping I'd get to talk to him. I was just thinking about him. He said, this is Stanley. I said, Stanley who? And he said, Stanley Washington. And I said, you mean Earl? And he started laughing. He said, Pastor Janet. And Earl was a young man that came to our church when we were downtown at the theater. He came in. He had been abandoned by his dad. He had been mistreated. He was on drugs. He was on alcohol. And Apostle Leonard took him in and fathered him. And he never forgot that. And he called to say thank you. He said, you know, when you guys, you loved me when nobody else would love me. You helped me when nobody else would help me. And I told him, I said, where are you living? And he said, up in Chicago. And I said, well, we're not that far away. Earl, we'd like to see you some Sunday morning to come on into church. But he was an amazing guy. And because he was loved and he was accepted at the River, it didn't matter where he came from. And God turned that man's life around. And he said, I still talk about the River and the experiences I had there and how God set me free immediately of drugs and alcohol. It wasn't a long, drawn-out process. Earl got delivered and set free from drugs and alcohol. And he said, I still tell people about that. Because he said, I know that was a miracle. Not everybody goes that way. But God did it. God did it, and he is still giving God the glory for today. And that's over, it'll be 22 years this August. 22 years ago. Thank you, Lord. Can we give him a praise? But it was fun dunking big old Earl, wasn't it, down in the water? Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. So we're going on to point number 4. Baptism in water shows we are dead to sin and we're alive to Christ. So I added Romans 6:3 to this, Aaron. I think we have 4, but I can probably just read 3. Romans 6:3. And it says, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Romans 6:4. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So we are identified with Jesus in the death, burial, and resurrection. We go down in this watery grave. We are buried with him. And when we rise up to walk in newness of life. We have come to the end of our own life, of doing things in our own strength. And we know that we no longer belong to ourselves, but we belong to Christ. We died. We're buried. Baptism in the Greek means to immerse. So some sprinkle, if you're covered and immersed, I always think, well, then we'd probably need to take a whole gallon of water or 5-gallon bucket and pour it on you to get immersed. But in the Greek, it means to immerse completely in the water. And so in the New Testament times, they would baptize. Baptism was not unusual, but they would spread their hands like this, spread their toes to make sure water got everywhere, and would go down in the water. So, you know, they say people remember about 30% of what they hear. And they remember about 60% of what they see and hear. But people who are able to see, hear, and do it remember about 90%. So God wasn't just giving us a theory, or wasn't just giving us something to think about. He actually wanted us to participate by faith in this act of being buried and to rise up again. Baptism in water, this is point number 5, illustrates a New Testament circumcision. In Colossians 2:11-12, it says, in him you were also circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting on the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, in which you also were raised with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So we are circumcised in our heart. The Israelites were required to be circumcised in their flesh as a sign of covenant. And when a man was circumcised and came into covenant relationship with God, you see, his seed was blessed because every seed that passed through him passed through the covenant. That's why God required men to be circumcised, because they carry the seed that passes through them, and that's the blessing of God that this child is a covenant. We're in covenant. We're making covenant children. And God now circumcises our hearts. Our hearts are circumcised when we are buried with Him. Through faith, God does that. So the bondages of the past are broken off because we have that promise from the Lord. We are the children of Abraham. You see, we're in covenant because of Abraham and Abraham's seed. We are the children of Abraham. We've come into that new covenant and we're set free from the bondages of the past. And there's scripture that shares this in 1 Corinthians 10:1-2. Would you read it with me? Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. So when the children of Israel came out of the world, they came out of Egypt, there was a baptism when they went through that Red Sea. You see, they were leaving the world behind and all the cares of the world and walking into the promised land. So when we are buried in Christ, it represents His death, burial, and resurrection. We go down in the water, and when we come up in newness of life, and we enter into all the promises that God has for us. Ah! Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Baptism in the water is so important. Very important. Romans 6:14, and this is why. Because sin is no longer our master. It's not ruling over us. We have a choice whether or not we're going to sin. Before we come to Jesus Christ, the devil is your father and he is over your life and he is dictating what you're going to do. People do crazy things because the devil is their father. Okay, we'll go on from that. Romans 6:14 says, read it with me. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under law, but under grace. Our old self is crucified with Christ. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. No longer slaves of sin. Point number 6. We're almost done. We have 6 and 7. Baptism in water shows we are obeying God. A, we are exhorted to believe and be baptized. Let's read Mark 16:16. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And then it symbolizes a spiritual cleansing. And 1 Peter 3:21 says, there is also an antitype which now saves us, baptism, not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience towards God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's wonderful to have a clear conscience, isn't it? It's wonderful to have a clear conscience sprinkled with the blood of Jesus. Sometimes you just got to ask the Lord, please cleanse my conscience. Please sprinkle me with the blood of Jesus. Sometimes there are things that pop up that should not be there. You know, the devil will always try to remind you of your past because he's always trying to get you to look backward and pull you backward. But the Lord Jesus Christ, He has a remedy for us. He will wash us and cleanse our conscience. And then we have a clean conscience before the Lord. And it don't matter the lies that the devil throws at you. You know, because you know who you are in Jesus Christ. You are the righteousness of God. Remember, we got baptized to fulfill righteousness. We become the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When we go down in that water, we're going down in a watery grave, and we're coming up a new creature in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. People often ask, what about deathbed conversion? Because a person doesn't have the opportunity to be water baptized. And we remember Jesus Christ hanging on the cross and the thieves that were hanging beside him. And one of them confessed their sins and asked the Lord to remember him. And the Lord did. He said, this day you'll be with me in paradise. So is there such a thing as deathbed conversion? I would say yes. I would say yes. I believe it's really sad that a person lived their whole life and never accepted the Lord, but it's never too late. As long as you're still breathing, it's not too late. And even when a person is unconscious, their spirit is still listening. Yeah, you can lead someone to the Lord even though they are unconscious. We trust God will save them. He said he's not willing that any should perish. He knows our thoughts. He knows our heart. And if they are laying there and their spirit man is saying, yes, Lord, forgive me, Lord, I want you, God, he's going to take them. He's not going to reject them. He does not reject us. Aren't you glad? Amen. It don't matter how bad you've been. God is always there. Amen. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His love never changes. Thank you, Jesus. Let's give the Lord a praise. His love never changes. There was a ruler in the synagogue in Acts 18:8, and his name was Crispus. And he and his household were baptized almost immediately after they believed. And that is the norm. The norm is getting people baptized or providing baptism for people when they become believers, when they give their heart to the Lord. And so at River of Life, how we do it is that if you desire to be baptized, you just let us know. And we put the word out for a week or two to see if there's anybody else that desires to be baptized. And then we fill the tank. And whoever comes that morning, that's who gets baptized. We've had people in the middle of the service come running up and want to get baptized because other people are getting baptized. And they didn't know it was that Sunday, and so we baptized them too. We have baptismal robes here. Pastor Cheryl will help you with all of that. And there's a list of things that you need to bring. But we are prepared for water baptism. In the church we grew up in, Pastor Leonard, he oversaw all the baptisms. And that was part of our responsibility. As elders, we oversaw the prayer ministry and baptisms. And our tank was always ready. We had some guys that ran pool companies, and they kept that tank ready all the time. It was running all the time. The water was ready all the time. And if anyone wanted to get baptized, we just did it right then. And so I encourage you, if you know someone that wants to get baptized, if you want to get baptized, June would be a great month to be baptized. Amen? While we're teaching on it. Romans 14:23 talks about having doubts. And so don't let doubt cloud your faith. Romans 14:23, but he who doubts is condemned if he eats because he does not eat from faith, but for whatever is not from faith is sin. So when we get baptized, we are getting baptized by faith in Jesus Christ. Faith in the death and burial and resurrection. Paul had trained people to help him in 1 Corinthians 1:14-7. And this is our last verse. If you'll read it with me. I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. And so Paul was stating that he had other helpers within the church that would baptize. And he preached the gospel. You see, that's a part of the team working together. I believe the last time we went, we had baptismal service, I think Jay Peterson baptized everyone. And I think that was his first time to do baptisms. But he's a big, strong man. He didn't have any problem taking him down and bringing him up. But we appreciate the opportunity to be baptized. We appreciate that we have a tank right here that we can fill up and have baptismals right here in our auditorium. So my question to you would be just to give you a challenge. If you haven't been baptized, I encourage you to contact us and get baptized. Get baptized. Get down in the water. If you're a believer in Christ, sometimes people want to be baptized again later on in their life because things have happened. They've backslid. They've turned back. And then they've come back to the Lord, and it's like, I want to be baptized. And we don't tell anybody no. If you want to be baptized again, that's fine. There are people who go to Israel to get baptized again in the Jordan. We were baptized again down in Florida when we were ordained in 1996, and we each got baptized as children. So being baptized is so important because every time we do that, we reenact the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So if you can keep that in mind, every time we have a baptismal service, for every single person that goes down in the water, we reenact the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and we become a part of that death, burial, and resurrection. So let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you so much for your presence today. Thank you, Lord, for this teaching. I pray, Lord, that you continue to teach people. Lord, those that are going to listen to this on the internet, I thank you, Lord, for continuing to teach us, Lord, water these seeds of faith in our hearts. Lord, that we have a deep revelation and understanding of why you ask us to be baptized and what benefits come into our life because we do that. And we thank you, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's give the Lord a praise this morning. Thank you, Lord.